Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What a roller coaster day. And right now, the prosecution is giving their final argument. We've heard the defense, 10 reasons, any one of which is reasonable doubt. I thought that was exactly the way to go by the defense today in their final analysis. All right, we welcome back, though, because we're really getting down now to the nitty-gritty on this. Jury instructions tomorrow are going to be critical. You've heard my reasoning, but let's see what our friend Jay Town, who has tried hundreds of cases and, for my money, has been the best guest that you can bring on among all the attorneys floating around out there, because this guy really has personality and has actually done this and realizes it's not on paper that you win these things. It's convincing these jurors in a most unusual situation. By the way, I hear he may not be a Robert De Niro fan. We'll find out, Dan. Let's, Your Honor, let's get that established first. Let's go to Jay Town on Talk Radio 1210. Jay, welcome back to the home stretch.
Hey, Dom. Good to be back on with you. I always, you know, we could just do the entire segment is just your lead-in saying nice things about me. So, I mean, if you want to take the rest of the time, I'll be happy to cede my time to the gentleman from Philadelphia and go from there. Okay.
Well, thank you, Jay. So, thank you. I mean that sincerely, though. I see why the Trump people had you. You would be a natural with the jury. You get it. It's not just droning on about the facts. It's the persuasion part. And, Jay, I think more critical than ever, I still view this, and we're watching it from afar. You know, I'm not in the courtroom every second. It's not on TV. That this is going to come down to a critical mass. If there are two or three jurors, not just one, and there is going to be one, without a doubt, I think, who are even appalled at this, they got to have stuff from the defense to hang on to, because the Allen charge will be given by Mershon. We're going to see all that play out. It's going to be intense, yep. The pressure. Somehow or another, it'll leak out. So I'll ask you a couple things here. How do you see lawyers looking at this? I know they're not lawyers in this field, per se, but when they don't have the second crime, and when Judge Mershon says, well, it could be any one of three things, even if the jurors differ, they can't even need agreement on the second crime here, the tax evasion or the state election laws or the federal. Shouldn't they be blanch at that and say, no, I can't go along with that?
Well, I mean, look, I think that, one, the charge itself, to be able to say, jurors, you guess which law was the unlawful means that was broken, right?
Right.
Like, you guess. You don't have to be unanimous on that, even though every verdict that I ever took, that I've ever heard of people taking, they had to be unanimous, not on one element, but every element of a crime. And so for them to have significant disagreement about which crime was the unlawful means, the secondary or third offense, if you will, that's not a unanimous verdict. So, I mean, it's not helpful to the Trump defense team that's the way he's going to lay out the instructions. But here's the thing, Dom. I don't think they ever even get there. The first hour of Todd Blanche is an excellent attorney, and he did a great job this morning laying out reasonable doubt. I've never seen
Jay,
I'm
sorry to interrupt, but one of the things over the years I'm fascinated with, and you have to realize in this job, I've talked to literally 100 or more people that are very, very good, either defense attorneys, usually I ask them, but I'm more interested, you were a top-notch prosecutor. You know, it's easier for the defense attorney to say what reasonable doubt is, so there's an advantage.
It is.
How would you say the defense should approach reasonable doubt, what that is to a juror?
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. I've never been a defense attorney in my career of 26 years as an attorney. I was always a prosecutor. And, you know, the way I think of reasonable doubt or a case, in fact, is the prosecutor is building a brick wall. All the defense attorney has to do is knock one brick out, poke a hole in that wall, and that could be enough for reasonable doubt. And so I think what the defense, to answer your question, I think what the defense in this case has done very well is they've taken a sledgehammer to the wall, right? The wall, you got to remember, the mortar in the middle between the bricks is all Michael Cohen. Everything holding the entire wall together is the testimony of Michael Cohen. And you'd have to swallow every word of what that man said on his direct and redirect testimony and believe it. You'd have to actually walk out of that courtroom and say, I believe Michael Cohen. I don't know, other than my name is Michael Cohen, I don't know if anything after that was true. And so, and during his testimony. So I think that Blanche did an excellent job on his cross of Cohen, and then he did an excellent job in his summation today, his closing argument, arguing to the jury why Cohen not only lied, I mean, that's just an objective fact, and is a liar, also it's also a legal fact, but here's why his testimony doesn't make any sense. And really, the point that I think, the overarching point here, is that Blanche created multiple angles that might lead just a single juror to adopt reasonable doubt about the people's case, whether it's related to the payments made to Cohen, the accounting practices of the Trump Organization, the chaos that surrounds a new president and his move to the White House, and then Cohen's testimony himself. And that's really all they needed to do is knock out one brick. But what I'm suggesting is, they have, throughout the trial, and it was underscored today, they have knocked out all the mortar in between those bricks as well, which is all Michael Cohen goo.
Yeah, I love what you've done. But you set up the metaphor there of the brick wall, and then it held together by Michael Cohen as the mortar. You know, we just have to hope there's a couple of bricklayers in the family history. What about the what about the two lawyers, though? If you were, and I know it's hard, you know, as a I never could be a defense attorney. I always would be the prosecutor. So it's hard for me to get inside their mind, Jay.
Yeah.
How would you approach the attorneys, though? What's the thing with them that might emotionally and analytically get them to say, yeah, I can't go with this?
When you're saying the attorneys on the jury? Is that
yes, the attorneys on the jury, yes.
Yeah, so I, you know, I never wanted, nor would I allow an attorney to be on any of my juries. But that's normally because you only have one. Remember, every attorney is the smartest attorney in a room. Doesn't matter who's talking. Doesn't matter who else is in the room.
Or people like me who didn't graduate from law school were even smarter. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then you take a guy like George Conway. Can I just give me one minute to make this point.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back to your point about the two attorneys. So you see on television, you see there are scores of lawyers that are on television. Many of them on cable news. Some are on, you know, The View or whatever other show is out there. And they're opining on this case. Here's what I would do. Here's why this is such important evidence, right? Donald Trump clearly is guilty, and they've proven it beyond any doubt, much less a reasonable doubt. Well, then you look at some of the other attorneys that are like, I don't know, Stakes case pretty weak. I don't find his testimony or her testimony to be particularly credible. It's a bad day for the people of New York. And the people that are the attorneys that are saying they have skepticism about this case, they've stood in front of a jury, right? I don't mean a civil jury where they can just be 51% sure. They've seen a case proven beyond a reasonable doubt in their lifetime. I've seen it done scores of times, and I've done it scores of times. And so when someone like George Conway, right, strolls in front of a camera, maybe in his career he wandered into a criminal courtroom accidentally. Maybe he had a friend who had a son who got in trouble or something like that. But he's always been a civil lawyer his entire career. So as much as somebody would put stock into George Conway's opinion about a case, is the same amount of stock I put into a Hollywood actor opining on who should be the next president of the United States, what our threats to anything on the globe might be, right? They read other people's words, take their ideas, and they come out of their mouths. That's not original thought. So I'm looking for original thought. To your point of the two lawyers, those two lawyers both think of themselves as the best lawyer on the jury. They also have law partners. They have friends who are attorneys. They have to go to court. Neither are criminal lawyers. That's a huge advantage. So to Trump. So what I think they're going to have to do And I think they've been given permission. I have no doubt in my mind these jurors spent the week talking to friends and family about the fact that they're on the jury and what their friends and family think about this case. I think there are people in their orbits, these two lawyers and really all 12 jurors, that have said, man, I don't think they've done it. This seems like a pretty weak case. And if you're a lawyer and you're the smartest, remember, how are you going to go back to your friends and say, I think that this case was proven beyond a reasonable doubt? I think that Donald Trump knew that these business record entries were going to show up as legal expenses. In fact, I think he caused them to be made, which is the element of the crime.
Exactly.
Not that he knew, that he caused them to be made. And well, what evidence did you have of that? Well, I didn't have any, right? I mean, I had Michael Cohen saying that he talked to Weisselberg, and Weisselberg was going to talk to Trump, and then he talked to Trump
but
and came back.
Let me interrupt here, Jay, for listeners, too, as a service to them. Why is it that neither side, or at least the prosecution, well, I know why the prosecution didn't. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the magic guy, Weisselberg, who was the former day-to-day guy with Trump and is in Rikers Island. Why is it they didn't bring him in? Because he probably would have said something different, materially different, from Cohen.
He would have. He would have said, I don't know what Michael, we never met. That's my handwriting, but that was done much, much, much later. He would have said, I never talked to Trump about this prior to the 2016 election. And all that. Now, he might have talked to Trump about it, President-elect Trump about it at some point. But can you imagine the chaos and how little concern Donald Trump has about a $130,000 bill after you've just been elected president and you're trying to fill a cabinet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's thousands of appointments that the president makes.
Well, what did you want to be appointed to? Attorney general would suit me fine in the second term.
You couldn't twist your mustache hard enough, Dom, to figure out a way for me to get appointed to anything in 2016-17. So I was just really lucky, and I'm forever grateful for the opportunity that President Trump gave me. But back to your point, though, I don't think those lawyers can walk back with a straight face and say, I don't like Trump, I'll never vote for him, but the state just didn't do its job. They've been given license by all of the real attorneys that are on television and opining and .coms and online and in papers, especially New York. There's a lot of heavy opinions in those .coms and papers there that the state hasn't gotten there. And so I think it's real. I think it's much harder for them to explain why they got to beyond a reasonable doubt on any of these elements, much less multiple crimes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Jay, I hope that we talk a couple more times. Do you think this will be over by the end of the week?
They're going to get instructed tomorrow, Wednesday. I think that if they do, it'll be Friday. I don't think the light's going to go on. Just for your listeners, a light goes on when the jury has a verdict or a question. That's how they know to come in and say, hey, what's going on? If they don't have a verdict by Friday, this is a hung jury.
Yeah.
If they have a verdict right away, it's an acquittal. You
exactly.
Heard it here, people. Yep.
Exactly. Jay, thank you. Got to meet sometime.
Thank you.
Love what you're doing. Thank you, Jay Town.
Take care, Dom. See you, bud.
All right, Jay Town here on Talk Radio 1210, 855-839-1210. Coming up, Dan, we welcome back a listener who apparently has been in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought they would pipe it into the, wherever the person is.
We
have a connection. Yeah, well, Joe will tell us about that. Side question, too. Something terrible about New York. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Yeah, these two attorneys are going to be leaders tomorrow with the jury. Not sure if they're on the same page. It's hard to tell on that. I like what he said. If it's pretty quick, it's an acquittal. If it's somewhere in that murky zone, could be guilty. And if it goes beyond Friday, it's going to be a hung jury. Because they just can't get it done. I see them going through the weekend. Boy, that's hard to imagine. All right, but right now, first, before anything, it is time for...
It's Dom's Money Melody!
The money gone.
All right, today we're playing for a digital movie code to see The Land of Saints and Sinners, Liam Neeson. plays a retired hitman, Finbar Murphy. Great name. Who finds peace in a quiet Irish town until terrorists force him back into action. From Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, available to buy or rent on digital now. Rate it R. Dan?
Yeah, Dom. So today we're going to take a trip through the world and play back a song in a different language, and we want to know what the language is.
Oh, boy.
Well, Dom, I often talk about my Polish roots, and if you listen to this show, you might think that I'm a purebred Polak, but that's not true. I'm actually a mutt. I'm half and half, and this is the other half of myself that I don't talk much about. One clue I'll give, though, because I really don't talk about it that much at all, that I don't know if the listeners have any concept of what this might be, so I'll say that this country hosted the first Grand Prix of Formula One behind the Iron Curtain after the Iron Curtain fell, so... Or, you know what? No, this is, I don't know. It was 1986. I'll give you the year. So, Dom, we're looking for the country, the language that this is sung in. Take a listen. Here you go. Well, that's English, but the rest of the language, Dom.
All right, what is that language? We love it when he tortures us with that. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Coming up at 2:30, we're going to talk with Mike Testa, state senator at the Jersey Shore. What is he going to do to try to stop the chaos? And great column at Real Clear Politics, Pennsylvania. Abortion rights in places like Radnor. There's something to this, though, that's not just about being able to get an abortion. It's about the economy in the suburbs and things like IVF, abortion, etc. I'll explain all that.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That is right. All right, let's hear the clue today. What language is this famous song being sung in? All right, what language? Patty in Westgrove on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Patty, what language is that?
Hungary?
Yes, Hungarian? It is goulashy. Yes, it is Zsa Gabori.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I'm running out of my Hungary stuff. I'll put you on hold, Patty. You are the winner. Remember, Dan, when I hit my head on a window and I took that thing to basketball, I would just say, what's the capital of Hungary? And I knew I was okay. Budapest.
Yeah.
Buda on one side of the river, pest on the other. I'm serious.
Didn't you take a tour down the Danube River?
No, I've never done the Danube. That was some other host, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I said the Hungarian Grand Prix. It was behind the Iron Curtain in 1986, the first ever Grand Prix, the Formula One race to be behind the Iron Curtain. A couple other little facts about Hungary. The Rubik's Cube comes from Hungary, and so does, Dom, the very important invention of the noiseless match.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That is a great, convenient, pretty wild, okay.
13 Hungarians have won the Nobel Prize, though. No, every category besides peace, though.
I think there's physicists and all that from Hungary.
What do you think the literacy of Hungary is?
I think it's pretty high.
99%.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I'm so smart.
Well, it's authoritarian, too.
Kind
there's
of
that.
Polish.
But, yeah. All right. 855-839-1210. You get in with that. So, Mike Testa in the On Deck Circle. You've obviously seen what happened over the weekend in Wildwood, Sea Isle City, now 17 short towns. They tried to do this before with Murphy. I'm going to ask Mike Testa. He is a bulldog at this stuff. What the heck happened? How come Phil Murphy before couldn't be brought to heel? It's because of the insanity of this state. Just think of a place that would elect that guy not once but twice. You know, the first time around, you can say, we don't know, we're Democrats. Where do we vote Democrat? How do you do it the second time around? All right? And one of the things he did, he put in these directives with severe punishment for cops if they bother these little teenagers, using their authority as a cop to move things along. And all hell is breaking. It's making national news. Not good for the Jersey Shore. Not good for, you know, that we go there. I mean, I've even talked to Dan. We're going to talk with the mayor and maybe three or four of the cops who were involved in this. Invite them over to Mulligan's on Dom Day on June 21st. And, you know, buy them their drink of choice. Just as another example of what the heck has happened here. And, of course, Ocean City, that is amazing that you have stabbing on the boardwalk in Ocean City. I'd have to go back and see how long ago you saw something like that. What's provoking it? Well, we give you the common cause. It's a deeper problem. It's called progressivism. Many times it's silly, it's outrageous with all the triggering, but in the end, it's destructive, even deadly. We know that. And that's exactly what's going on in Jersey. It's as if Larry Krasner is just walking or being ridden up and down the boardwalk and declaring, yes, go forth. We hate the cops, too. All right, let's go to Joe in Exton on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe. Good Monday to you.
Yes, and good afternoon to you. My disappointment with New York City involves the loss of its native son and intellectual commentator, Dennis Prager, who left New York City and moved to California.
Joe, out of the box as usual. Thank you. Yeah, Dennis Prager is a public intellectual, Dan. There used to be a category of people who were considered very smart, but they weren't egg-headish out of the loop or whatever. They were actually called public intellectuals.
Is that the Prager U guy?
Yeah, it's a Prager U guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is a brilliant guy. I mean, yeah, definitely. All right. Dennis Prager, though, out of all things New York, only Joe of Exton.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a kind of positive one. That,
yeah, could yeah. come up with something like that. Got to get, Rose said, she'll drive. Got to get him to Dom Day. Got to get him there to Exton in Wildwood just for one day.
So I spoke to him yesterday briefly, and he seems interested in making one of these trips out. So
yeah.
maybe we'll make it happen.
Nice work by you, and don't think I haven't been checking the Wildwood Tourism website, though, Dan.
Oh, it's not there yet?
Not there yet. Oh, Dom Giordano Day is not there yet. I don't want to turn people loose to say, come on. And I'm looking at what they have on the 21st. Yes, it is the country music thing. But it's also yoga on the beach and all. Come on.
Do yeah, we have come to take on. A, Why, what?
Do we have to put yoga mats out at Mulligan's to get on that thing? Is that what we need to do? Dan will lead in the exercise class that day. Okay.
Some great answers on Twitter, Dom.
Go ahead.
What's horrible about New York?
Yes.
Leslie with two great ones. The unwanted windshield washers.
Yes.
And Hakeem Jeffries.
The accent. The accent, too. I was saving the accent. That could the traffic and the accent are the two things with me. The pushiness, of course, but the accent is brutal.
And both Gary and Hedda Lettuce, bedbugs.
Yeah. Dan, we're talking about going to France next, and Ro is concerned about bedbugs there. I'm thinking, what? The French?
Well, you can check for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a reason not to go, though? Here we go. Another thing we have to check on. All right.
Marcus says, far too many parades in New York, but, I mean, being near Philadelphia is...
I'm a fan of the parade, though.
Yeah?
As long as you got to be reasonable about tying up traffic.
It's like Kramer.
Yeah, I like the parades if they're put in certain areas where you can... let's have a parade on Dom Giordano Day. We got the Italians, we have Jim Kelly, the Irish, and we have the Poles / Hungarians.
Some of the sports shots here, Yankees fans, Mets fans.
Mets fans obnoxious, yeah, definitely.
This is a potential winner, too. Marcus writes in, people who say waiting online instead of in
line. That's it. You're right there. How could you be online? You're in a line. You're in it. You're not on a line. There is no such thing. That's crazy talk. All right, Mike Testa, Senator Testa, next. And your calls here. Dom Giordano's show, it made national news. Wildwood and anybody knows Ocean City, shocked the stabbing that happened. We had the mayor on, but everybody says immediately they talk with State Senator Mike Testa, who is the guy that is really a bulldog in Trenton against all odds. What can be done? Senator joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Senator Testa, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be on. I wish we were talking about a better subject, but unfortunately, you know, the chickens have come home to roost with leftist liberal policies that have taken the handcuffs off of criminals and placed them on our police forces.
Well, I think it's a great subject, though. I get your point, Mike. But you know why it's a great subject? Because you're exactly right. It's not just about the surface. It's about that directive from the Murphy administration a few years back that police are scared to death, that cops were considered racist. That's why they put it in. So what do we do now when a place like Ocean City, I know you were a lifeguard and love Wildwood as I do, we'll get to that secondarily, but a place like Ocean City, a stabbing in the middle of this and fights on the boardwalk is unprecedented. What are your thoughts? You have a ton of bills I know you try to get passed. What can you do?
I think it's high time that those bills actually make it to committee. You know, being in the minority party, the majority party doesn't even allow common sense bills to get to be heard in committee. I think it's high time that that package of bills that will fight for criminal justice reform that I brought out last year, along with my assembly mates, Eric Simonson and Antoine McClellan in the assembly, that those bills actually get to have a true hearing in the relevant committees where they need to be heard. I also think that it's incumbent upon each municipality that has these issues to release videos to show the complete lawlessness that is happening. You know, I've seen some of the videos that got shared on social media, you know, from Wildwood. It looked like something out of Fight Club. There was, you know, 100-plus individuals surrounding a couple people. And I have to give a shout-out to the brave officers who jumped in the middle of this to stop it. Things could have gotten really bad really fast if a firearm from an officer was taken. I mean, this was 100-plus to one individual officer, because there was 150 to 200 individuals surrounding two officers who were trying to put a stop to the nonsense.
Yeah, I saw that video too. It illustrates how hard it is to handcuff somebody. Then you have these people filming this, and some of them think they're influencers, but this isn't the worst. You're right. If one of them had taken that gun or something else in this situation. So is it your sense, Senator Testa, that the people on the other side, is it just political? They don't want to see anything good come from the minority position? Or are a lot of them convinced this attorney general and what Murphy did, this directive to a cop that chills them, et cetera, they're on board with it, that somehow or another it's preserving equity and inclusion and stopping discrimination? What's your sense of what you're there day to day with them?
I think you've said it all, but I think that there are some really sensible individuals on the other side that you're starting to see some of the tide turn. You know, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Stack, I think he's the mayor of Union City. He's starting to realize that this nonsense needs to stop. I truly believe that the chairman of the Budget Committee, on which I also sit, Senator Paul Sarlo, wants to see lawlessness come to an end. The problem is that we've created a culture over the last number of years, and I don't mean to get into the esoteric too much, but nationwide and certainly from the Murphy administration, you know, these past 6-plus years he's been in office, that there are no consequences, and that, you know, that the police, we should, you know, again, it all started with that, you know, defund and disband police departments. I mean, one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard of in my lifetime, long before I was ever a legislator. I mean, this is insanity to think that we can behave and live in a society where there are no consequences. And if you do break the law, you need a social worker rather than law enforcement. I mean, there's a reason why we have police officers who put their lives on the line each and every day when they go out there. But again, we have to give them the tools necessary to do what used to be written on the side of every police car, to protect and to serve the communities in which they live and work, in which we either live and or visit. I mean, our shore communities are vital, vital to our economy. And I, heaven forbid, that there becomes the perception, which eventually becomes a reality, that people are afraid to visit our shore communities and bring their children to our boardwalks. Look, Wildwood, I was a lifeguard there. That is usually more of a, you know, a wild summer scene, but not lawlessness. It's always been safe, but it's known for its party atmosphere. Ocean City is supposed to be the family resort.
Yes, of America.
Right. And having a stabbing on the boardwalk is certainly, you know, not what we want to have in order to attract families to think, look, Ocean City is a dry town. It's you know, pure American pie Americana, where people want to go to the boardwalk and go on the Ferris wheel and go on, you know, go on the rides and get a slice of pizza and get some soft serve. People aren't going to want to take their families there or to Wildwood. You know, this year my plan was to take all three of my children to the Wildwood Boardwalk. I love the rides on the Wildwood Boardwalk. It's where I grew up going. And you know, you have to say to yourself, hey, wait a minute. Do we have to get out of there by a certain hour?
Yes, the answer to that is yes at this point. Yeah.
Right. So we need to give law enforcement the tools necessary so they can actually do their job. And imagine this, enforce the laws that are on the books rather than directives from a rogue attorney general who has embraced DEI. And you know, you can't have any issue without the cry of either racism or equity, as you said earlier.
And I want to commend you, too. You know, I commend you. You're a bulldog in pushing for various things from the minority side. But commending these other Democrats who might be sensible, that's the way to get them. Because if a few of them come out, then we see the others who are just into progressive world like Murphy. And there's nothing you can do other than get a coalition of reasonable people to change this. When I read this directive, Senator, the last couple of days, people are made, and the media not reporting it from that rogue attorney general. Well, the new attorney general, administratively, I think, could he not send a message, at least a message to cops they can do their job?
Absolutely. I mean, look, and you know, I happen to be a PBA lawyer as well. Police officers are actually afraid to do their job because at one point they could be charged with a crime. A third-degree crime.
Yes.
Now, who's going to want to go into their job saying, you know what, if I enforce the law and I truly believe I'm doing the right thing and arresting an individual, oh, but wait a minute. Now, because of this crazy law that is on the books or a crazy directive, which the attorney general believes trumps the law, no pun intended there, that there I may lose my job for actually performing my job. That's scary. No officer should be in that position. Look, we get to, as the public and certainly in my seat as an attorney, we have hours to review what took an officer seconds to determine. You know, they're out there doing their best to serve the communities and to protect and serve each and every one of us. And, you know, I could tell you this, you know, last summer I was on the boardwalk with my kids. There was a section of the boardwalk that smelled like marijuana. Nobody wants their kids asking, Daddy, what's that smell? What's going on over there? We want to be able to enforce the laws that are on the books. That's what needs to happen. And, you know, my hat goes off to Mayor Ernie Troiano, also Mayor Jay Gillian of Ocean City. You know, they contacted me immediately when this happened. They want their communities to be safe. They fully understand that tourism is the lifeblood of our economy in South Jersey during the summer months. And they are doing everything they possibly can to make sure their towns are safe and sound for all of the visitors, the hundreds of thousands of visitors that will be visiting there this summer.
That's who I would call first, you. And I know how difficult it is, but we know that you're on it. Please keep us abreast of these reasonable Democrats so we get something done.
Absolutely. I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Mike Testa here on Talk Radio 1210. All right. Final calls of the day. Lightning round coming up. 855-839-1210. You get in. Something terrible about New York. By the way, Steinglass, Dan, is doing the rebuttal for the prosecution. He says that Cohen and Keith Schiller, the Trump bodyguard, know each other well. They spoke in coded language during that 66-second phone call in which he not only wanted to get the 14-year-olds harassing him, but told Trump everything's cool with the Stormy Daniels thing in 66 seconds. Coded language.
Klingon.
Yeah, that sounds it. All right, final call is coming up. Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Yes, something terrible about New York, New York City, person, place, or thing. By the way, not a good move by Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley in Israel, Dan, autographing a bomb to be dropped on Gaza. and saying, finish them. Now, yeah, now this is, it's a little bit too far. And again, you see what her instinct is. Can't trust her, warmonger, and Republican Party has moved away. Somebody else, I might say, I don't know. Nikki Haley, another definite sign. Joe in Bordentown is on Talk Radio 1210. Joe, good to have you back with us. What happened?
I fell, and then my feet and legs got infected, so I'm in a rehab place right now.
Well, Joe, sorry to hear that, but we're glad you can be back with us.
Also, I'm Hungarian, so I would have got the answer on the music question.
Okay. Good to hear that, Joe. So, something terrible about New York?
The hot dogs that they have in water for like 3 days when before you buy them on the street.
Tastes so good, though.
I don't know about that, Dan. You got a peculiar taste.
Probably why I'm dealing with stomach issues the way I am.
Exactly. The Earl of Tacony. Earl, what do you have today?
Real quick, the problem with the kids is lack of discipline, but that's a long, convoluted argument for another time. But my answer to the side question, you said bed bugs, and I agree, but I'm not talking about the insects. I'm talking about the out-of-state landlords. The landlords who come down from New York City, because New York City is a crap hole, they come down here, they buy houses, and they rent them out. Sometimes they forget that they even own the properties, and the properties get run down.
Great answer.
Well, I remember the fire department. Remember that, Earl, in Port Richmond or somewhere around there? These were warehouses or whatever. Disrepair just allowed to be that way, and people died in it. So, yeah, it's an issue. Thank you, Earl, very much. Well, New Yorkers invading Bucks County, the Poconos. You hear the accent first. Then you'd say, watch it. I'm online here. No, you're out online. You're in line. Get back. Drew in Upper Darby. Drew, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, thanks a lot. You know, Dom, real quick, Seb Gorka is half Hungarian.
Oh, we know that.
Anyway,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, my answer, Dom, you know, this ugly incident happened in it didn't happen in New York, but it might as well have. It was right outside where two U.S. congressmen, they had a sanctioned duel where one was allowed to kill the other. In Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, and the one who lost is on our $10 bill. Just imagine, only in New York where two political figures can kill each other. All right, thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. Well, they went to a remote thing in Weehawken or something. Jersey was more, but they were New Yorkers. That's true. That's right. Hamilton died, and he's the one on the bill. Burr is, you know, his name is Mudd. Bill and Bucks. Bill, what's yours?
Well, New York City is so elite, it has its own time zone. They call it NYT, New York time.
All right, thank you. Well, I like the speed, the urgency and the speed. I just think they're too arrogant, too pushy. And I've driven in New York traffic. Yeah, and I'm a pretty aggressive driver. The 2 feet, the whole thing. It's different there. It's a lot worse. All right.
Can you drive with 2 feet in New York?
I don't know. That might be against
the
law.
Left and right usage.
Yes. All right. So give us a couple contenders today.
I think two really stand out, Dom. It's Joe in Bordentown's Dirty Water Hot Dogs and Earl and Tacony's New York City Landlords that come to Philadelphia and drive up prices and just don't care about their properties. I'm leaning towards Earl, man.
All right. Let's go with Earl's. I did like the Dirty Hot Dogs, too, though. By the way, brilliant. Joshua Steinglass, who's doing the summation for the prosecution, said that Cohen was drawn to Trump like a moth to a flame. All right, we'll have a lot tomorrow because we get the jury. We also hope to speak with the mayor of Seattle, Dan, because now 12:30 tomorrow, and what is
Lenny
Desiderio talking about?
So Lenny's heading the charge to ban balaclavas, the face masks that you see, the shiesties that you see here in Philadelphia. Apparently, they're down there at the shore, and people are using them to conceal their identities at these late night events. So, just another way to combat this situation we're seeing play out on the boardwalks at the shore.
Right. In Philadelphia, you can say you can't wear it on SEPTA and related buildings and all that. I would think Seattle City and these others ought to be able to do that.
And why the heck are you wearing a face mask when it's 90 degrees out.
Yeah, well, the ACLU would probably have a multitude of reasons, Dan. They might have bad skin. They don't want you to see it. They're attracting women until they take fakery, phoniness.
You know, those teenagers in their acne, Dumb.
Yes, that's what it is. It's an acne issue. Nikki Haley autographing bombs in Israel.
What is she doing?
Oh, man. I don't know if she's going to be the Trump VP choice once we get out of this trial.
Bad PR.
All right. Follow on Twitter. I'm doing a national show tonight. I'll tell you the results tomorrow. I'm going to find out what they think about inflation, what they think about Trump, and a bunch of other things next two or three nights. And we'll give you some sense across the country, particularly the swing states I'm aiming for. Follow on Twitter, though, until tomorrow. At Dom Show 1210, at Dom Show 1210. Really like to know what you think about it. The prosecution trying to argue that Cohen is not needed because there's enough evidence without him. Oh, man. You think that's going to work? This has hung jury written all over it. Maybe by Dom time or Zioli time on Friday at some point. And Dan, I had it at Roe agrees with me. You think almost very attractive with all this short stuff. That Dom Giordano show, it made national news. Wildwood and anybody knows Ocean City, shocked the stabbing that happened. We had the mayor on, but everybody says immediately they talk with State Senator Mike Testa, who is the guy that is really a bulldog in Trenton against all odds. What can be done? Senator joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Senator Testa, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be on. I wish we were talking about a better subject, but unfortunately, you know, the chickens have come home to roost with leftist liberal policies that have taken the handcuffs off of criminals and placed them on our police forces.
Well, I think it's a great subject, though. I get your point, Mike, but you know why it's a great subject? Because you're exactly right. It's not just about the surface. It's about that directive from the Murphy administration a few years back that police are scared to death, that cops were considered racist. That's why they put it in. So what do we do now when a place like Ocean City, I know you were a lifeguard and love Wildwood as I do, we'll get to that secondarily, but a place like Ocean City, a stabbing in the middle of this and fights on the boardwalk is unprecedented. What are your thoughts? You have a ton of bills I know you try to get passed. What can you do?
I think it's high time that those bills actually make it to committee. You know, being in the minority party, the majority party doesn't even allow common sense bills to get to be heard in committee. I think it's high time that that package of bills that will fight for criminal justice reform that I brought out last year, along with my assembly mates, Eric Simonson and Antoine McClellan in the assembly, that those bills actually get to have a true hearing in the relevant committees where they need to be heard. I also think that it's incumbent upon each municipality that has these issues to release videos to show the complete lawlessness that is happening. You know, I've seen some of the videos that got shared on social media, you know, from Wildwood. It looked like something out of Fight Club. There was, you know, 100-plus individuals surrounding a couple people. And I have to give a shout-out to the brave officers who jumped in the middle of this to stop it. Things could have gotten really bad really fast if a firearm from an officer was taken. I mean, this was 100-plus to one individual officer, because there was 150 to 200 individuals surrounding two officers who were trying to put a stop to the nonsense.
Yeah, I saw that video too. It illustrates how hard it is to handcuff somebody. Then you have these people filming this, and some of them think they're influencers, but this isn't the worst. You're right. If one of them had taken that gun or something else in this situation. So is it your sense, Senator Testa, that the people on the other side, is it just political? They don't want to see anything good come from the minority position? Or are a lot of them convinced this attorney general and what Murphy did, this directive to a cop that chills them, et cetera, they're on board with it, that somehow or another it's preserving equity and inclusion and stopping discrimination? What's your sense of what you're there day to day with them?
I think you've said it all, but I think that there are some really sensible individuals on the other side that you're starting to see some of the tide turn. You know, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Stack, I think he's the mayor of Union City. He's starting to realize that this nonsense needs to stop. I truly believe that the chairman of the Budget Committee, on which I also sit, Senator Paul Sarlo, wants to see lawlessness come to an end. The problem is that we've created a culture over the last number of years, and I don't mean to get into the esoteric too much, but nationwide and certainly from the Murphy administration, you know, these past 6+ years he's been in office, that there are no consequences, and that, you know, that the police, we should, you know, again, it all started with that, you know, defund and disband police departments. I mean, one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard of in my lifetime, long before I was ever a legislator. I mean, this is insanity to think that we can behave and live in a society where there are no consequences. And if you do break the law, you need a social worker rather than law enforcement. I mean, there's a reason why we have police officers who put their lives on the line each and every day when they go out there. But again, we have to give them the tools necessary to do what used to be written on the side of every police car, to protect and to serve the communities in which they live and work, in which we either live and or visit. I mean, our shore communities are vital, vital to our economy. And I, heaven forbid, that there becomes the perception, which eventually becomes a reality, that people are afraid to visit our shore communities and bring their children to our boardwalks. Look, Wildwood, I was a lifeguard there. That is usually more of a, you know, a wild summer scene, but not lawlessness. It's always been safe, but it's known for its party atmosphere. Ocean City is supposed to be the family resort.
Yes, of America.
Right. And having a stabbing on the boardwalk is certainly, you know, not what we want to have in order to attract families to think, look, Ocean City is a dry town. It's you know, pure American pie Americana, where people want to go to the boardwalk and go on the Ferris wheel and go on, you know, go on the rides and get a slice of pizza and get some soft serve. People aren't going to want to take their families there or to Wildwood. You know, this year, my plan was to take all three of my children to the Wildwood Boardwalk. I love the rides on the Wildwood Boardwalk. It's where I grew up going. And you know, you have to say to yourself, hey, wait a minute. Do we have to get out of there by a certain hour?
Do yes, we you know, the answer to that is yes at this point. Yeah.
Right. So we need to give law enforcement the tools necessary so they can actually do their job. And imagine this, enforce the laws that are on the books rather than directives from a rogue attorney general who has embraced DEI, and you know, you can't have any issue without the cry of either racism or equity, as you said earlier.
And I want to commend you, too. You know, I commend you. You're a bulldog in pushing for various things from the minority side. But commending these other Democrats who might be sensible, that's the way to get them, because if a few of them come out, then we see the others who are just into progressive world like Murphy, and there's nothing you can do other than get a coalition of reasonable people to change this. When I read this directive, Senator, the last couple of days, people are made, and the media not reporting it from that rogue attorney general. Well, the new attorney general, administratively, I think, could he not send a message, at least a message to cops they can do their job?
Absolutely. I mean, look, and you know, I happen to be a PBA lawyer as well. Police officers are actually afraid to do their job because at one point they could be charged with a crime, a third degree crime.
Yes.
Now, who's going to want to go into their job saying, you know what, if I enforce the law and I truly believe I'm doing the right thing and arresting an individual, oh, but wait a minute. Now, because of this crazy law that is on the books or a crazy directive, which the attorney general believes trumps the law, no pun intended there, that there I may lose my job for actually performing my job. That's scary. No officer should be in that position. Look, we get to, as the public and certainly in my seat as an attorney, we have hours to review what took an officer seconds to determine. you know, they're out there doing their best to serve the communities and to protect and serve each and every one of us. And, you know, I could tell you this, you know, last summer I was on the boardwalk with my kids. There was a section of the boardwalk that smelled like marijuana. Nobody wants their kids asking, "Daddy, what's that smell? What's going on over there?" We want to be able to enforce the laws that are on the books. That's what needs to happen. And, you know, my hat goes off to Mayor Ernie Troiano, also Mayor Jay Gillian of Ocean City. You know, they contacted me immediately when this happened. They want their communities to be safe. They fully understand that tourism is the lifeblood of our economy in South Jersey during the summer months, and they are doing everything they possibly can to make sure their towns are safe and sound for all of the visitors, the hundreds of thousands of visitors that will be visiting there this summer.
That's who I would call first, you. And I know how difficult it is, but we know that you're on it. Please keep us abreast of these reasonable Democrats so we get something done.
Absolutely. I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Mike Testa here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, final calls of the day. Lightning round coming up. 855-839-1210. You get in. Something terrible about New York. By the way, Steinglass, Dan, is doing the rebuttal for the prosecution. He says that Cohen and Keith Schiller, the Trump bodyguard, know each other well. They spoke in coded language. During that 66-second phone call in which he not only wanted to get the 14-year-olds harassing him, but told Trump everything's cool with the Stormy Daniels thing in 66 seconds. Coded language.
Klingon?
Yeah, that sounds it. All right, final call's coming up. Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Yes, something terrible about New York, New York City, person, place, or thing. By the way, not a good move by Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley in Israel, Dan, autographing a bomb to be dropped on Gaza and saying, finish them. Now, yeah, now this is, it's a little bit too far. And again, you see what her instinct is. Can't trust her, warmonger, and Republican Party has moved away. Somebody else, I might say, I don't know. Nikki Haley, another definite sign. Joe in Bordentown is on Talk Radio 1210. Joe, good to have you back with us. What happened?
I fell, and then my feet and legs got infected, so I'm in a rehab place right now.
Well, Joe, sorry to hear that, but we're glad you can be back with us.
Also, I'm Hungarian, so I would have got the answer on the music question.
Okay. Good to hear that, Joe. So, something terrible about New York?
The hot dogs that they have in water for like 3 days when before you buy them on the street.
It's so good, though.
I don't know about that, Dan. You got a peculior taste.
Probably why I'm dealing with stomach issues the way I am.
Exactly. The Earl of Tacony. Earl, what do you have today?
Real quick, the problem with the kids is lack of discipline, but that's a long, convoluted argument for another time. But my answer to the side question, you said bed bugs, and I agree, but I'm not talking about the insects. I'm talking about the out-of-state landlords. The landlords who come down from New York City, because New York City is a crap hole, they come down here, they buy houses, and they rent them out. Sometimes they forget that they even own the properties, and the properties get run down.
Great answer.
Well, I remember the fire department. Remember that, Earl, in Port Richmond or somewhere around there? These were warehouses or whatever. Disrepair just allowed to be that way, and people died in it. So, yeah, it's an issue. Thank you, Earl, very much. Well, New Yorkers invading Bucks County, the Poconos. You hear the accent first. Then you'd say, watch it. I'm online here. No, you're out online. You're in line. Go back. Drew in Upper Darby. Drew, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, thanks a lot. You know, Dom, real quick, Seb Gorka is half Hungarian.
Oh, we know that.
But anyway,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, my answer, Dom, you know, this ugly incident happened in it didn't happen in New York, but it might as well have. It was right outside where two U.S. congressmen, they had a sanctioned duel where one was allowed to kill the other. In Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, and the one who lost is on our $10 bill. Just imagine, only in New York, where That two political figures can kill each other. All right, thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. Well, they went to a remote thing in Weehawken or something. Jersey was more, but they were New Yorkers. That's true. That's right. Hamilton died, and he's the one on the bill. Burr is, you know, his name is Mudd. Bill and Bucks. Bill, what's yours?
Well, New York City is so elite, it has its own time zone. They call it NYT, New York time.
All right, thank you. Well, I like the speed, the urgency and the speed. I just think they're too arrogant, too pushy. And I've driven in New York traffic. Yeah, and I'm a pretty aggressive driver. The 2 feet, the whole thing, it's different there. It's a lot worse. All right.
Can you drive with 2 feet in New York?
I don't know. That might be against
the
law.
A lot of left and right usage.
Yes. All right. So give us a couple contenders today.
I think two really stand out, Dom. It's Joe and Bordentown's Dirty Water Hot Dogs and Earl and Taconi's New York City Landlords that come to Philadelphia and drive up prices and just don't care about their properties. I'm leaning towards Earl, man.
All right. Let's go with Earl's. I did like the Dirty Hot Dogs, too, though. By the way, brilliant. Joshua Steinglass, who's doing the summation for the prosecution, said that Cohen was drawn to Trump like a moth to a flame. All right, we'll have a lot tomorrow because we get the jury. We also hope to speak with the mayor of Seattle, Dan, because now
12:30 tomorrow.
12:30 tomorrow, and what is
Lenny
Desiderio talking about?
So Lenny's heading the charge to ban balaclavas, the face masks that you see, the shiesties that you see here in Philadelphia. Apparently, they're down there at the shore, and people are using them to conceal their identities at these late-night events. So just another way to combat this situation we're seeing play out on the boardwalks at the shore.
Right. In Philadelphia, you can say you can't wear it on SEPTA and related buildings and all that. I would think Seattle City and these others ought to be able to do that.
And why the heck are you wearing a face mask when it's 90 degrees out?
Yeah, well, the ACLU would probably have a multitude of reasons, Dan. They might have bad skin. They don't want you to see it. They're attracting women until they take fakery, phoniness.
Oh, you know, those teenagers in their acne, Dom.
Yes, that's what it is. It's an acne issue. Nikki Haley autographing bombs in Israel.
What is she doing?
Oh, man, I don't know if she's going to be the Trump VP choice once we get out of this trial.
Bad PR.
Oh, worse. God. All right. Follow on Twitter. I'm doing a national show tonight. I'll tell you the results tomorrow. I'm going to find out what they think about inflation, what they think about Trump, and a bunch of other things next two or three nights. And we'll give you some sense across the country, particularly the swing states I'm aiming for. Follow on Twitter, though, until tomorrow. At Dom Show 1210, at Dom Show 1210. Really like to know what you think about it. Prosecution trying to argue that Cohen is not needed because there's enough evidence without it. Oh, man. You think that's going to work? This has hung jury written all over it. Maybe by Dom time or Zioli time on Friday at some point. And Dan, I had it at Roe agrees with me. You think almost very attractive with all this shore stuff. That woman that caused the stir in Wildwood a few Memorial Days ago, right?
Definitely attractive, Dom.
Definitely attractive.
Yeah.
We might have to have a debate with the Zioli show this summer at some point on that.
I got Roe on my side now. That's great.
No, she doesn't think that. She thinks you're overvaluing
it.
Yeah, there we go.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.